I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 this evening. We're going to start there with our text. As I mentioned this morning, the sermon this evening is entitled, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? We need to always be ready. Yesterday, Carol and I went to the viewing of one of her friend's mother who passed away. It's been a full week. She had lived a long life, and like everyone's life, it comes to an end. This afternoon was the service for my aunt that died a week ago. Again, she lived a full life, but it comes to an end. All of us, unless the Lord comes first, our life is going to come to an end. And I think at the end of the year, it is good for us to stop and consider, are we ready? There are so many things that we have to do with our life. I've always been in the habit of having a weekly planner, the things that I am going to do. I make lists, things I need to accomplish for that week. And then all of those plans that I make, that others make, friends, we need to make sure that we have on our checklist that we are ready to go home to be with the Lord. We don't want to put that off. It's going to be something that happens to all of us. I want us to start reading in Luke chapter 12 and at verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them set down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him the portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Friends, there's going to be a day of reckoning, a day that is coming where we are going to give an account. The master is going to come back. We need to be prepared. And there are several lessons in Luke chapter 12 that I want us to consider. The first one is, we should be ready to meet him. We should always be ready. He starts off saying, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That idea of girding your waist, taking your garments, pulling it up so you can get to work. We don't wait with our feet propped up. We wait working for the Lord. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Why are our lamps burning? Because we're looking for him. Did I look for him today? Did I look for him yesterday? Did I look for him last week? Or is that totally out of my mind? Friends, we need, Jesus instructs us to be looking for him. Jesus gives the negative sides of things, but from verse 31 onward, he gives the positive duties of his disciples. To gird loins was to fasten the girdle along the garments of the people so they could move about swiftly. And it's important to use the girdle before starting on a journey. They could travel better with the long garment girded so that it would not interfere with their movement. So this readiness consists of our loins girded and our lamps burning. This speaks of teaching and warning. We need to be busy teaching because Christ is coming back. We need to be busy warning others because Christ is coming back. And there are many, Paul tells us, that many are turning away from the faith and giving heed to fables and the traditions of men. Many people are out there teaching false doctrine. Many people are saying you don't have to do anything. So we need to be busy teaching and warning people what our master says. They should, and notice, they should keep their lamps burning. To keep their lamps burning, like those of the company of servants, waiting for the coming of their Lord from a wedding feast at night. And they should be watching that they might be ready to open the door for him. And when, you just think about that, someone's coming from this long journey. Think about yourself, or you're coming from a long journey, you're walking from somewhere, you come to the house that you are planning on coming to, you knock on the door, no answer. You knock again, no answer. Friends, when Jesus comes, we need to be looking for him, and we need to be watching for him, so that when he knocks, as it were, on the door, we are ready to open and say, come on in. This is the same point of the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. They were not only girded so that they could be about active service, but their lamps were to be burning, prepared for immediate use. So again, not only is the ways to be girded for traveling, but it's to be girded for use, for working every day. They were not to be anxious about food and raiment, but they were to be alert and ready to do the duty of their master in faithful watching and service. Constant readiness, constant watchfulness. And I will be the first to admit, I don't always do that. On my list tomorrow, I've got a lot of things to do. I know things will come up that I hadn't planned. They'll get rolled over. Tomorrow, I'll be working on things I didn't get done last week. The list never ends. But we, friends, we need to have on our list priority number one, that we are watching and working and waiting and ready for when Christ returns. So we need to be ready to meet him. We should be looking for him. Blessed are those whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching, in verse 37. When he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and will have them set down to eat and will come and serve them. Christ left. He went to heaven. He's coming back again. When we read about the brethren at at Thessalonica, it said that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. Are we serving God? And you think again about the Thessalonians. They had been idol worshipers, and they turned to God to serve God and to be watching and waiting for him. Christ is precious to us. And how can we say that we love Jesus and not be looking for him to come? You go to a funeral service, and you can just tell with Some people, even that don't know the truth, they have some religious concept and they say, oh, I just want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. Where we're out of this world of pain and suffering and sorrow. Friends, we need to be ready. We need to be looking for Him. Jesus encourages watchfulness by describing the happy condition of those servants who will be found at His coming. And He uses very emphatic language in expressing these truths by their faithfulness. And the servants become the guest. Notice when we read this that He waited, they were waited upon by the Lord Himself. There's humility in this. So first, the Lord girds Himself. Next, He causes them to recline at the table. Then He comes to minister to their wants and wait upon them. So look at this. Let's look at this verse again. Let your waist be girded, your lamps be burning. You also be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Does this ring a bell? This passage with any other place in the New Testament where Jesus girds himself and comes down and serves them? Well, when we turn over to John chapter 13, let's look beginning at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put in him the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. So Jesus, in Luke's account, where he's talking about this faithful servant, this watching and being ready and watching for his master to return, and the master returns and he girds himself and sits down and waits on the servants. We see this played out again where John records it at the last Passover meal in John chapter 13, where Jesus himself is telling this to his disciples. And do you see the connection between the two? And then you keep reading in John, because this is talking, part of this is talking about, you go back to Luke 12, and what are they talking about? They're talking about a wedding feast. They're talking about a wedding feast. And the groom would go and prepare a place for when he comes for his bride. We see this in John chapter 13, where Jesus girded himself and became the servant to his disciples. Then you keep reading, and sometimes you got to just put aside the chapters and verses. We get caught up on chapters and verses and don't look at the thoughts and the lessons that are flowing through the Bible. You go to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this is some of that love language in John 14, some of that marriage language. We read this, and rightfully so, and say this was before Jesus died, and he said he's going to heaven and he's coming back to get us. But we miss the concept of this wedding language, this love language. He loved us so much. Jesus is going to prepare a place for his bride to come and receive his bride. And who is his bride? It's the church. It's us. Are we ready? Are we ready when our groom, when our husband, when Christ comes back and he knocks at the door? Are we ready for him? Jesus also points out back in Luke 12 that this is going to happen like a thief coming in the night. Verse 39 and verse 40. But know this, that if the master of the house, and here Jesus illustrates the necessity of constant readiness and watchfulness by the case of theft. Do we know when the thief is going to come and break in and steal? No, we don't. I've had that happen to us a couple of times, and it's a very scary feeling. When someone comes and takes your property, and you don't know that they're coming. This is what he is using to illustrate the uncertainty of when the Lord will return. And again, we know that at this time, many of the houses were made out of earth or clay. The houses were made out of earth or clay. The roofs were made out of clay or thatch. And it would be easy for a thief to break through the wall and come in and steal something, plunder, and especially while the master was away. But if we knew when that thief was coming, we would be ready. But we don't know. And the point Jesus is making, you don't know when I am going to come back. You don't know when the master is going to come back. So you need to always be ready. Always be ready. Jesus makes his own application when he exhorts his disciples to be ready. For an hour that you think not the Son of Man comes. So I've heard people sometimes say, boy, you know, I wish Jesus would come when we were here in the assembly worshiping God. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be nice, but it's probably not likely that that's when he would come. Because we would all be hopefully prepared and expecting him. He's going to come when we aren't prepared. He may come when we are doing something we aren't supposed to be doing. He may come when we are contemplating some temptation, giving in to some temptation. So we must always be ready. We don't know when he's going to come. We need to always be looking for him. He'll come like a thief. We see from this passage that when he comes, the faithful shall be rewarded when he comes. In verses 41 through 44, all servants of Christ are stewards of the mysteries of God. And as such, we are expected to give to the household of faith their portion of meat and due servants. So we as servants must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. None of us are going to escape the judgment. That every one of us is going to receive according to what we have done. Nobody is going to be excluded. Nobody is going to be overlooked. The faithful will be rewarded. What are we looking for? We're looking for that well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if that was all we got, that's more than we deserve. That is what we want to hear him say, well done. So it seems that Jesus knew, I mean, he he always knew what was going on in people's minds and what they were thinking. The faithful shall be rewarded. Peter, to the Lord, he said, well, who is the faithful? The Lord said, who then is the faithful? Peter, he always was impulsive. He was inquisitive. He always blurted out what he was thinking. Jesus did not directly answer Peter's question, but added another parable of a steward whom the Lord put in charge of his house during a temporary absence. And this was a common occurrence in the East. So the question was asked as to who was the faithful and wise steward. The question makes the sentence the stronger and needs every listener and reader to reflect more and to make a personal application. Who is that wise and faithful servant? Is it me? I hope I am. If it's not me, what's stopping me from being that faithful and wise steward? That steward was a slave. He was a bond servant. Do we see ourselves as slaves and bond servants to Christ? As we've talked about in the book of Romans, we are a slave to whom we serve. We serve a master. We either serve Christ unto life or Satan unto death. And we will be blessed when Christ returns if he finds us faithful stewards in those things that he has entrusted to us. So the faithful shall be rewarded when he comes. What's the flip side of that? The unfaithful shall suffer loss at his coming. Verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. You just think about being cut in two, cut asunder. That's a very graphic, very violent picture. We are going to suffer at his coming. This is something that would cause shame. And looking for the coming of Christ should have a powerful effect on our daily life. We're looking for him. We're watching for him. Sometimes we might wish that he would come right now and take us. Sometimes we should be thankful he doesn't come right now, because we have to ask ourselves. I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, am I really ready if he came tonight? Am I really ready? If I'm not ready, what do I need to do to be ready? If I'm not ready, what am I putting off doing that I know I need to do? Do you remember back years and years and years ago in elementary school, and the teacher would step out of the class for a while, and a short time after the teacher would step out of the class, all the students, the troublemakers, would start talking and causing trouble, and everything was going on. And you knew that wasn't good. And then you'd hear the teacher coming down the hallway, and what would you do? The ones that cared about their grades would heed when they knew that the teacher was coming. That unfaithful servant, that unfaithful student, he would suffer the wrath of the teacher for not being prepared when she came back to the classroom. In this parable, we learn that our works are going to be tested. One of the things that's going to test our works is the judgment, is the fire of the judgment, and our works are going to be burned up. We're going to be tested. Notice in this parable that there are degrees of punishment, because there are degrees of privilege. verses 47, 48. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So have we had little or much committed to us? Friends, we've had everything committed to us. We have the complete final revelation from God. We have everything committed to us, and more is going to be held against us for what we do with it. And back in verse 45 and 46, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So we see that there is going to be a reward for the faithful, a punishment for the unfaithful. There are going to be degrees of rewards and degrees of punishment. We always need to be ready. We always need to be ready. While the servant was in charge and beating his fellow servants and living an idle and drunken life, the master returned and saw his servant in the height of his folly. Wasn't a good picture for him. And we might say, well, I'm not going to be doing that when Christ comes back. Well, just what are we going to be doing for our servant, for our master? We are the servants. What is he going to find us doing? Are we going to be busy doing his will? When Jesus was separated from his parents when they went to Jerusalem and they found him, and he was basically saying, why are you surprised? Didn't you know that I was supposed to be about doing my Father's will? Friends, we are to be busy doing the Father's will. So again, in verse 47 and 48, it's talking about opportunity, opportunities that we have, the abilities that we have. And when you have opportunity and you have an ability, what else do you have? You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to do something with what the Lord has given you. The greater opportunities and abilities we have, the more responsibilities we have. Now, some of us may have more opportunities than others. We may have more opportunities to talk to people, to see people, to teach people. We may have more opportunities. Others of us may have a better ability. We may have a better ability to teach somebody than somebody else. But we all work together because we all have abilities. We all have opportunities. What if you have an opportunity but you don't have an ability? Oh, I found this person that wants to study this in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I just don't know that much about that. Well, there's an opportunity. Well, you find somebody that's got an ability to work with you, and you're busy doing the Lord's will. We look at doing what we can do, and we pray to God for opportunities. And I think sometimes we sit down and fold our hands and wait for them to fall through the roof. It's just like I've heard it over and over and over and over. When we pray to God for our daily bread, what do? We get up, we go out, and we work. We get up, we go out, and work. When we pray to God for opportunities, we get up, we go out, and work. So again, different degrees of punishment, and that was nothing new. That was under the law of Moses. Of those to whom much is given, much is required. The one who has ability to use 5 talents is required to use that many. The one who has ability to use only 1 talent is held responsible if he does not reuse that 1 talent. Are you ready? Friends, the Lord is coming. He is coming. Back at verse 36. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open to find him immediately. Friends, the Lord is coming back for his bride. He is coming back for us. Are we ready? Are we looking for him? Are we looking for the Lord's return with boldness? Are we looking for the Lord's return with blessed assurance? You know, we sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Are those songs on our heart? I'll fly away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Are we looking for him? I want us to end by reading one of the songs that we sing. We sing it here sometimes. What a day that will be. There's a coming a day when no heartaches will come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Friends, are we ready? Are we ready for Christ to return for us, his bride? We need to be ready. Friends, if you are not ready, don't put it off another day. If anyone needs prayers, needs to confess, needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. All things.